Radio City Talk.
The A to Z of Merseyside football.
So, time for the A to Z of Merseyside football. If you've yet to catch this feature, it's absolutely brilliant. We're heading through the alphabet and we're picking out the names that matter, the football themes that matter relating to the different letters. We're on the letter H. We've had loads so far, but there's still a few to go. And John Keith is the man with the knowledge and the power. Morning, John.
Good morning, Steve. Well, as you know, goals are celebrated in a variety of different ways, both on and off the pitch, but few heralded quite as dramatically as Fred Hopkins' first goal for Liverpool. It came in a 3-0 home win over Bolton in 1923. Left winger Hopkins was born in Dewsbury, Yorkshire, in September 1895. He played for Darlington and Manchester United, who sold him to Liverpool for £2,800 in May 1921, United having been fined £350 by the league for paying Hopkins more than the maximum wage of £6. And promising him an illegal percentage of any transfer fee received.
This is outrageous.
It is indeed. Anyway, it was a great move for Hopkins because he was an ever-present in his first season at Anfield, starring in Liverpool's drive to the league title, in a team also featuring those great marksmen Harry Chambers and Dick Forshaw, who we've already talked about in this series. Hopkins, nicknamed Kneeler for his peculiarity in going down on his right knee when crossing the ball...
Love him.
Was also a key figure the following season of 1922-23 when Liverpool retained the championship. But he'd yet to score a goal when Bolton arrived at Anfield in the March of his second season. And that was when Hopkins ended his drought to spectacular accompaniment. Liverpool were leading 2-0 when he scored shortly before half-time. A match report stating, Hopkins cut in more cutely than usual, and when he let his left foot go, the ball simply flew into the right-hand side of the goal. Now, if you thought flares were a modern phenomenon, think again. Supporters, delighted at Hopkins' goal, set off flares on the terraces, sparks ignited the Anfield Road stand, and the stadium became enveloped in smoke.
Oh, were flares commonplace, were they?
No, they weren't, but okay. They weren't commonplace, but they clearly are not just a modern phenomenon. Anyway, the fire brigade dispatched from Westminster Road station arrived and extinguished the blaze during the half-time interval. But when play resumed, the match was still in a smoke screen with players drifting in and out of the spectators' vision. I mean, I'm amazed it carried on, but it did. The drama, though, failed to inspire Hopkins to blaze a scoring trail. He had to wait almost 2 years for his next goal, and during his 10-year Anfield career, he managed a dozen league and cup goals in 360 appearances, and in four of his seasons failed to score a single goal. But his deliveries and assists for others to score, combined with his great athleticism honed from his talent on the track as a hurdler, ensured a memorable Liverpool career before he rejoined Darlington in August 1931. Now, more than three decades later, I was a young reporter in London covering Liverpool's landmark 1965 FA Cup final win over Leeds, and I had the pleasure of meeting and talking to Fred in a London pub after the Wembley match. He just couldn't contain his delight at seeing his former club win the cup for the first time, something he and all previous generations of Liverpool players had tried and failed to do. So it was great to see him. He's very emotional as well. He died 5 years later in Darlington at the age of 74. Now, from Hopkins to another of Merseyside football's many northeastern arrivals, Newcastle-born winger Jimmy Husband learned his football on the banks of the Tyne with Shields FC before joining Everton as an apprentice in 1963, signing pro in October the following year. He was a member of the club's 1964-65 FA Youth Cup winning side, and manager Harry Kattrick rewarded him for his displays by handing him a league debut at Fulham at the end of that season. An unpredictable player, he earned the nickname Skippy from the Gladys Street fans because of his unusual running style, and he was hailed by teammate Joe Royle as, quote, one of the fastest players I've ever seen. At 18, he made his European debut against Vipest Dosha of Hungary in the First Cup, the forerunner of the UEFA Cup, in November 1965. He scored 19 league goals in 1968-69 when Everton finished third behind Leeds and Liverpool. Although injury ended his 1969-70 season slightly prematurely in February, Husband's six league goals, including critical strikes against Chelsea, Leeds, West Ham and Newcastle, were key in Everton landing the title. Another goal he scored against Chelsea in a 3-0 home win in January 1971 was voted by Liverpool Echo readers as the greatest in Goodison history, featuring a stream of one-touch passes before Husband took the ball on his chest, turned with it and volleyed it into the roof of the net. Husband joined Luton in November 1973 after 55 goals in 199 senior appearances, then moved to America playing for Memphis Rogues and Oklahoma City Slickers before returning to Britain at the age of 35, briefly running a pub and then working as a mobile home salesman and a driver for Parcel Force.
It sounds like he did absolutely everything, Jimmy Husband.
Yeah, he moved around a bit, but he was a very influential player in those years of the late 60s, and of course in the title season made a great contribution.
How many former players owned a pub as well? I think you could probably rack up quite a few hundred. Let's get on to our next guest, which is...
Yeah, well, just picture the scene, Steve. The great Kenny Dalglish, during his playing days, is asleep in bed in his Southport home, recharging his batteries to play for Liverpool in a big game at Anfield the following night. Outside his bedroom window, behind the closed curtains, the window cleaner is making sure the glass is clean and sparkling. Nothing unusual in that, you might think, except that the man up the ladder with the bucket and chamois leather is a football manager who will go on to become the longest serving in world football.
Wow.
Rowley Howard, a window cleaner by trade, was appointed manager of Crosby-based Cheshire League club Marine in 1972 and led them through the most successful period in their history, winning 21 trophies. At the same time, he developed a star-spangled window cleaning round, his celebrity clients also including Everton's legendary manager and player Howard Kendall and Liverpool great Mark Lawrenson, as well as Dalglish, who became a good friend of Rowley and attended his testimonial match in 2005. When Rowley retired after 33 years at the helm of Marine, he'd taken charge of 1,975 matches, recognised by the Guinness Book of Records as the longest-serving boss in the game. But in 2013, just a few miles south of Marine's College Road ground, Jimmy Davis, manager of Waterloo Dock, broke Howard's record. Davis, a former dock steward, retired at 71 after completing almost 50 years in charge of the Liverpool County Premier League club he helped set up in Club Moor in 1963. So it just shows you records on Merseyside just get broken, including records you never think will be broken.
Well, that's a stupid amount of games, isn't it?
Isn't it?
That he's been in charge for.
Yeah.
But when it came time to actually hang up the gloves, so to speak, or, you know, retire, I bet you had to pull him away, Rowley Howard.
Yes, I think... he came in here as a guest on Strictly John Keith and... he said, obviously, after so long, it becomes part of you and you feel like losing your right arm. But I think he realised that it was the time to move over. A lovely guy, Rowley, smashing guy. And I'm told by Kenny, a very good window cleaner.
Three fascinating fellas, all inducted into the A to Z of Merseyside football list. Fred Hopkin, Jimmy Husband and Rowley Howard. John, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Steve.
A
Can
to
I
Z
just mention,
week?
By the way, before we close, we have a new Bob Paisley show coming up in January 31. At New Brighton Floral Pavilion. It's to mark the 100th anniversary of Bob's birth. And we've got those great names, Ian Callaghan, Jimmy Case, Alan Kennedy and Phil Neal on stage with me. And we're going to reflect on what Bob did and why he was such a genius, what made him apart from the other managers, why did he win 19 trophies in 9 seasons? So I'm sure it'll be a great night, for, not just for Liverpool fans, but for football fans generally. And we've got some songs by that wonderful singer, Ian Ross, who will sing songs appertaining to Bob's life. So it should be a good night.
Brilliant, brilliant night. You can find out more via the Floral Pavilion website or, of course, their box office number.
Which is
0151-666-0000. HZ and Merseyside Football's back next week.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Rock, sport and talk. Radio City Talk.